what was it, about 28? No.
Everything was
37-something. That ought to be a blessing to them. That'll be a real help to them. I want to tell you right up front, make no mistake. Got it on? All right, good. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Hebrews tonight. In the book of Hebrews. Let's look there in Hebrews in chapter number 2. And we'll be looking at a passage, if you're able to stand, in Hebrews in chapter number 2. And the Bible says there, when we begin to look in it, is that you'll find that in verse number 8 and verse number 9. Now, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that was not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, right now we know that God's on top of it. He's the victory. And let me tell you, even though that right now it looks like the devil's, you know, having a heyday, and even though the devil's subject unto him, and even though that he is, right now it doesn't seem that he is. And what God's trying to say to you and I is simply this: it's as good as done in the mind of God. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, and how good that it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise thee and thank thee that thou art God. Beside thee there's none else. Bless the word to every heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight. I want to entitle this right here. Excuse me. He's going to lead us into one side of the grave and outside the other. Amen. Make no mistake about it. Now, listen, grave is not our final place. Is that we'll be put in one side. One of these days the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now let me say to you, the Bible said over in the book of John, chapter number 5, somewhere along there, he said the time's going to come that all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice. And those that have done good coming forth to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. You'll be in one of the other, no doubt about it. In this lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ is that he tasted death for every man. Now, you know, death is a subject we don't like to talk about. Let me tell you right now is that it's real easy while you're doing good, your ticker's going good and everything's going fine, talking about how brave you are and you're trusting God and this and that. But you let that buddy skip a beat and you skip two or three breaths. And I've done seen too many times. It's nature for us to want to grab hold and stay alive as much as we can. And then after it's all said and done, we're out of the clear. We want to talk about how brave we are once again. I got to tell you something, is that death is an enemy. It's the last enemy that will be destroyed. I don't like to talk about it. I don't like to experience it. Some of you that are here tonight are sitting in this building. You've either lost a child, you've lost a spouse, you've lost a loved one through the portal of death. It's an ugly scene. It's a horrible subject. And yet you'll find the reality is that's not the end for you and I. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that Jesus tasted death for every man. You know, when it comes time to be able to walk into the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil. He said, "Thou art with me," the psalmist said. And I'll tell you what he'll do is that he came with me to church tonight. If you're saved, he did you. And as a result of that, you'll find I'm glad that he leads and guides and directs us every step of the way. But when it comes time for us to leave this world that we're living in, he'll be right there beside us and carry us all the way through. Thou art with me. And let me tell you right now is that he's going to be with us all the way there, all the way until the time that we've drawn the last breath. Did you know the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? I don't know about you, but I'm glad there's not going to be a check-in time. Miss Juanita texted us tonight, gave us a drop pin about where to go and so forth and on, and told us about the little old clearance that they've got over there, and the mask they make you wear on, the questions they make you ask and all of that. And she said, and by the way, you know, is that the traffic is horrible. And I sent her them clappy hands and I said, but can we keep the mask? And she got sent me back them funny eyes, you know, them laughing. And that's true, yeah. I mean, here we go again with that. I hope they don't recognize me because my wife had me tell them there's all a bunch of lunatics when she was there. Yeah, I hope she don't force me to be able to say, I bet you wish now you hadn't told me to tell them they were all lunatics. And that's going to be right before I take off running down one of them long halls. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that death is no, the Lord Jesus is no stranger to death. He tasted death for every man. I guarantee you, he knows exactly what we'll be going through, and make no mistake about it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad is that whenever we leave this world, that death does not seal our doom. Unless you die without hope, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, no man took his life from him, the Bible said, but he was able to bow his head, give up the ghost, and lay his life down. Not only did he lay his own life down, dismiss his own life, but he's able to raise it back up again. And I want to tell you what a glorious time that it was resurrection morning. Whenever Jesus Christ got up and burst the bonds and the chains of death off and the imps of hell off of him and came up out of the tomb and resurrected from the dead. I got to say to you that when you begin to look, it's Jesus that won victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. And I'm glad to say unto you tonight that as we stand here before you, is that when it comes our time to go, God will give us that dying grace that we need to have. And the reason that we ought to be able to rejoice in that is because right now everybody's just wanting to hang on the line. I know I want to hang on the line. I'd like to be able to make it through one more deer season. Brother Ron and I have already talked about it. I mean, I'm ready to go. If the Lord wants to go right now, all right, that's fine. But could we wait till one more deer season is passed? It's already here upon us. We got a lot of time and effort and feed into them. And so, but you see what I'm talking about? It's nature for you and I to want to stay as long as we can. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's only right that you that are here tonight in this building, that you stay as long as you can. We need to glean from one another. We need to be able to be strengthened in the inner man. We need to be encouraged by one another and to be able to pray one for another. Now, you know, I'm here tonight talking to the choir, and I know that. Do you realize I can ask somebody else? And by the way, in the behalf of these that we've got, I've done asked two or three preachers, one of them Brother Gully, and one of them Brother Hoots, and one of them's Brother Tierbach, and he's out at Kerrville now, and to get your congregation to pray for some folks that are here that we're talking about. I just wanted to say to you, I'm glad they responded in a good and a positive sense. I'm glad because I think Brother Hoots, he wanted to know what room she's in. So he might go up there, and who knows? And maybe go up there and pray with him. If not, at least he can pray about the room number wherever it's at. I said all that to be able to say this, is that you'll find that our Lord has won the victory for you and I. And when it comes our time to go, we'll just be ushered into the presence of God by the Holy Spirit of God and by the Lord himself that'll come for us. I want to say to you, it's by the grace of God that allowed you and I to ever get born into the family of God. Now, when we're born into the world, we're born flesh and we're born with flesh and blood. That's the natural man. Did you know the Bible said that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for he's spiritually discerned? But whenever you come to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, then you're able to judge right and wrong according to the Scripture. You know, the only reason why that I know something's right or something's wrong, by what thus saith the Lord. You know, if you ask this religious but lost world about any subject, it don't matter. You think this is right, or this is wrong, or that's wrong. They'll just give you whatever they feel good about and what they want to do. I got to tell you, right is right because God said it's right. Wrong is wrong because God said it's wrong. And let me tell you, flesh will never want to line up with what God said one way or the other. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that death could not hold our king. If you read over there in the book of Colossians chapter 2, and you hadn't got to turn there, but if you did read there, you'll find out that he made an open show of them openly, and he stripped them on resurrection morning. And in the book of Colossians chapter 2, listen to verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in him. I'm going to tell you, the devil and all the imps of hell wanted to keep him from resurrecting. But he made an open show and whipped them red-handed. I mean, just real easily, throwed them off like he would a garment. And let me tell you, that's the reason why they know that he's all-powerful and who that he is, the Son of the living God. Now, let me say to you, until the Lord shall take away the last enemy, you and I are going to have some crying times and trying times. But I want to tell you something. It's not what we're going to do as far as when death comes, but it's what we've got right now that prepares us for that. Make no mistake about it, that if you live long enough, you're going to die. If I live long enough, I'm going to die. We're seeing it happen all the time, and we know what it is, and even though it's unpleasant to even think about it, I just wanted to tell you, don't you ever forget that the Bible said Jesus tasted death for every man. We need not live in fear and need not live in bondage. I got to tell you this, is that the graveyard's a lonely place. I go visit it about at least once a week, sometimes twice. And I used to tell folks to don't be hanging around the graveyard, especially for me. But that was before I had a grandson laid to rest. I want to tell you something about it. I can't explain it. Does it do him any good? Not a bit. I don't even know if it does me any good. But I want to tell you right now is, it's sad to go out there. I got a son-in-law laying right beside him. I got a tomb for my wife and I. Now, it's empty. These boys, some of them like to go over there. And I said, let's lay down. Let me get your picture there and see what you look like. And but they don't want to do that. Sometimes they'll do it on their own. Somebody, the first time they ever saw the, oh, no, my word. Surely you hadn't already got his own tombstone. Yeah, I know. It's a waste of money if the Lord comes. But in case it didn't, I didn't want y'all having to fight over and the kids over, well, let's get one, you know, that's got a dead horse inscribed on it or a live dog or all of that business there. I mean, my word, we could have put a live goat out there to keep mine trimmed up a little bit, but Budhead's gone. We don't know where he's at. That was what his name was. Now we got Henry, and that's neighbors. I don't own a goat, but I've got plenty of loner goats, and Henry's out there busy. I said all that to be able to say this, graveyard's a lonely place. And if that's all you can ever do is see what's right there and never can look beyond that, what a sad place that is. I want to tell you what I do see. Every time I leave that graveyard, I say, well, boys, we missed you today. And I just want you to know that if I don't see you again down here, I'll meet you in there. And I want to tell you, I mean that. And I'm looking with great anticipation to the coming of the Lord. Now, until then, I'd like to have one more deer season, if I could, since we already got on it. I already know that. Oh, don't look at me so pious. There's some things you're wanting to do, too. Yeah. I got to tell you right now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, we can approach victory, death with victory in our heart and our life. Remember this, Paul the Apostle, Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I tell you, we got a lot to be able to gain before we leave this world that we're living in. Now I want to close with two or three passages, because when Jesus Christ, in the passages that we read, he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. And the Bible said that he was able to taste death for every man. And let me tell you something, is that you'll find the reason in verse 17 of our text that he did all of that he might show mercy and be merciful unto you and I. Now, there's a passage over in Psalms 86, and I'll give you a second to find it, or you can just listen to it, but it's in Psalms 86, and it's in verse number 5. He said, for thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Somebody said, now wait a minute. I don't feel like God's dispensed mercy upon me. You're going to meet somebody like that. Well, ask them this question. Have you called upon him for it? See? It doesn't say that God's just out dispensing mercy, but it says he said he's plenteous in mercy, ready to forgive all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to my voice and to my supplication. I want to tell you, look in Psalms 85, verse 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all of their sins, Selah. I'm glad to say to you that the proverb writer in chapter 28, about verse 13, the Bible said, he that try to cover his sin will not prosper. Yes. But he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Yes. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God loved me even while I was unlovable. I'm going to let you turn over there in the book of 1 John chapter 2. That's an old familiar passage. We don't never want to lose sight of it. I hope you've got it written down on the tables of your heart. Because the Bible says in the book of 1 John in chapter 1, we'll look there first. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Look in chapter 2 in verse number 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith that I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, look at that, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him. I want to say as we get ready to leave here tonight is that, you know, the Bible talks about women dressing with shame, facedness, and sobriety. Talks about men trying to be the kind of man with the kind of manly appearance. And those are good things. I used to make a statement. I used to say, you know what's wrong with the average liberal Baptist woman? She dresses like a $2 gypsy road whore. I've since then had to back up and go apologize to gypsies. Because they're not going that low. See that? In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that the Bible said, and when people go to professing, you know what, is that I'm just happy with what I've got, what I'm doing, what I believe. It's because you're not hearing any preaching that contradicts what you are and contradicts what you believe and what you're doing. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you feel good about yourself outside of the house of God and the Word of God and the people of God, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. There's a time or two in life, you know, that you may go around and looking and thinking. And I've in all these years that I've been doing this, 49 now, in all these years that I've been doing this, I've had plenty of people from here to there to yon. And they quit going to church, and the first thing they do is claim they're doing better than they've ever done in their life with the Lord. Which Lord you talking about? See? That's a lie. You're not doing better than you've ever been with the Lord. You're doing better than you've ever been without the Lord. Yeah. And one of these days, whenever you comes your time to go, it'll be a little too late to be able to cry out then. Because God says that whenever I called, you wouldn't answer. And one of these days, you're going to call and God said, I won't answer. I don't know about you, but I never want to get to the place in my life that I'm so sorry that God wouldn't hear me and would shut me completely out and off from the prayer line. What about you tonight? Isn't it good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin? Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word tonight, and we thank you for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to a place of repentance and faith. And Lord, thank you for saving us, loving us while we were unlovable. And I pray your blessings on all these that we've mentioned tonight. And Lord, you know every need that we have. And we pray that, Lord, you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name.